Okay, so we're here in a mansion house. There's the lunch at the end of Velo City, and we're here with Lieve Vermeer, from the Belgian Federal Ministry of Transport and Mobility. So we're just talking about like what how you found Dublin, and we were talking about earlier on about the outreach between the organisers at this conference and the general citizens of the city.
Well, I was not in direct contact with the citizens of the city of Dublin, but I was here 6 years ago and now again, and it seems to me that the streets are still very dangerous for vulnerable road users. I was appalled at the speeding in the streets and the aggressive style of driving of Dubliners. Well, it doesn't correspond to the image I have of the Irish. And then, well, I must admit that we have had these same problems in Belgium, but that ever since 2003 we have a new street code that is, as a matter of fact, a part of the traffic, of the highway traffic code, and gives an equal right of mobility to all road users, be they vulnerable road users or people with restricted mobility or truck drivers or car drivers. All can have an equal right to be on the streets, and there's a cascade of responsibilities. The stronger one has a responsibility towards the safety of the weaker one. So a truck driver is responsible for the safety of the car driver. The car driver is responsible for safety of cyclists and pedestrians, with a special attention towards elderly people, children, people with restricted mobility for any other reason. So a bit more civility in the streets of Dublin would not be such a bad thing, I think. Well, for the rest, I find the city has improved in its looks. You see that the economy is booming, and I was also pleased to see that the municipality has a cycling policy. I have seen cyclists on the road more than 6 years ago, when there were almost none, but also the infrastructure has been slightly adapted, although great improvement can be made there, also for pedestrians. I have difficulty finding the pedestrian crossings, because in Belgium these are all zebra stripes, very easily identifiable from a graphic point of view. Also when you're a car driver, you immediately see all these broad white stripes. Here you really are not warned enough, I think, of the fact that on certain points there are pedestrian crossings or crossings for non-car users. That could be better in my eyes.
And like Belgium seems to be a kind of a leader in when it comes to this. It seems that in Ireland we're kind of at the edge of Europe physically.
Well, but I must correct you. We are no leaders in road safety. The Dutch are, and the statistics for Britain are far better, but then they have almost no cyclists. We have a share of 12% of cyclists in the general trips. So this is only about 4%, I think, in Britain, if it is 4%. Okay. And in Ireland, tell me yourself how much.
That's what I was going to
ask. This is with Robert again. Robert, yeah. Like come in.
I think it's somewhere around 4%, and it might even be lower than that. It's almost non-existent outside of Dublin in terms of the cycling. You have the hardcore cyclists that, to a certain sense, give the wrong impression of what cycling can be like. If you go to the continent, everybody cycles, young, old, people in suits. Here it's either people wearing high visibility vests or light for shorts racers.
Yeah.
But it should be possible for children and adults and everybody.
Then you need a package of measures, you know, for everybody to be able to come on the streets safely with their cycles. Then you have to adapt the rights of people, give them mobility rights, so that when an accident happens, the car driver is going to be put before the judge, and he is going to bear the consequences of what he does. But also, you have to be sharper on enforcement.
Yes.
I didn't see any policemen finding anybody here, though I saw a lot of speeding the few days I was here. So enforcement is important, infrastructure measures are important. You need a whole package. It is also a cultural thing. I see this in Belgium. The northern part of Belgium, Flanders, everybody's using his bike for every day, short trips.
And has that always been the way?
Speaking southern part of the country, it's not. It's more a Latin mentality. They take the car, they don't cycle so much. Of course, we are next to Holland, where cycling has, I think, 30% of short trips. This is enormous, of course.
And can I just ask you there, when you were saying about the northern part, is it, of Belgium, where it's more in the culture? Is that
it's always
been part of the culture. There never was a kind of break from that tradition, was it?
Well, there was a dip, but now there is a new cycling culture coming up, and youngsters are taking up cycling again because it is cool, because it is modern. It's a good trend.
And what about I was at the Greenways conference, and the speaker from the Wallonia part of Belgium was speaking about the development of Greenways throughout Belgium, and it just seems amazing what's going on there. And in terms of, like, we're finding out about the ideas of, like, opening up, say, along the waterways and the old train lines, and in some areas where there was a bit of confrontation because some people didn't want the edges of the waterways opened up to cycling, but then I think it was maybe the mayor or somebody said, no, we are going to allow for all of the waterways to be bike friendly zones. Like, is that something that's happened all over the rest of Belgium now, or is Wallonia seen as a leader and for the Greenway?
Yes, I must say that in Wallonia they have put the accent on the Greenways, in Flanders more on utility cycling lanes.
Okay.
But Flanders too has very fine Greenways because we put in a lot of money. I belong to the federal government, but I mean the authorities in Flanders put in a lot of money, really a huge amount, 50 million euros per annum are invested in cycling lanes and in Greenways.
Just as here in Ireland, they announced, they kind of gave, they tried to explain what had been done in Ireland. We, over the last 10 years in Dublin, we had 30 million over 10 years, and they claim, like,
30 million for the build up of cycle infrastructure. Is it?
What everybody here was seeing on the streets is what has been spent.
Okay.
So, like, if you go to, I was in Holland recently, and the streets are just so different. You walk down the street and you pass hundreds of bicycles. You can't walk down the street for falling over them.
Yeah.
Here you're tripping over poles and the occasional bike, but you're more likely to trip over a car than a bicycle in this city, I think.
And in terms like, there's a group here that are trying to make a circular greenway for the city centre along the canals to make up a full link through the canals, through the Phoenix Park, which is Europe's largest park, and the Botanic Gardens. Link it in with ecological thinking coming from Botanic Gardens and urban food production, so having food growth along that corridor as well. But also that the route acts not only as a greenway, but as a thread, a green and blue thread, a water and green eco thread, going through a series of pocket parks. And in each of these parks there'd be spaces for people to be, they'd be able to get there easily by bike, but then in the park, things to do, safe zones, encouraging people, especially the young people through schools and projects like that, to get the kids back on bikes and back in using the bikes and having safe zones through the city to move through, because that seems to be really one of the main things about this. It's just still, although the bike lanes are in, it's still, people don't feel it's fully safe.
Another initiative which has been on the burner a little while, simmering down there, and which through the conference may actually come to fruition in the short term, is there's talk of implementing a 30 kilometer hour zone in the city centre between the two canals regions, and there's some significant work to be debated in the public and in our county councils, etc., to try and implement that. And that alone, in combination, will make the city a much nicer place to be, and it actually may improve the flows of traffic, because what you're getting is people speeding up between the stops at the lights.
Yeah.
And it's something we should be looking forward to, and we should, as always, all Irish and Dublin citizens, we should be asking for this. This is something beneficial to all of us.
And in terms of like the in terms of the funding for projects like this, like the is the European Union very supportive of these kind of initiatives? Is there monies there for that, or is it more the local governments?
It is the federal government and the regional governments, and also municipalities. But municipalities only pay a small percentage, maybe 10 or 20% of the costs, and the greater part of the money comes from the regions. The federal state is paying especially for Brussels, because Brussels has a problem. The infrastructure has not been conceived there in time, and they don't have the tax revenues to finance it themselves. So the Brussels region is getting 11 million euro a year for its cycling lanes as a kind of extra effort to turn Brussels into a cycling city.
Okay. And what would be I'm not too sure, but is there a city that like in terms of car-free cities or car-free zones, is there some city that I think a mayor said they built a loop road or ring road around the city and he says okay, and then they want another one, he says okay, then they want another one, he went hold on, maybe we need to get to the root of the problem, and said okay, we need to have a certain car-free zone in the centre. I'm not sure where that is now, but do you know anything about that?
I think he meant Antwerp, because they are having huge infrastructure works on the ring lane around Antwerp, but that is for heavy trucks, and then in the center of town the lanes were renewed also, and then there were problems to get into town, problems of accessibility for the inhabitants, and then they took very special measures for cycling lanes. These are provisionary for the moment, but they are going to be rebuilt after all this other work has been over. But another town that has an excellent record for cycling is Ghent. There they turn, it's an old historic town, Ghent. They turned the entire historic center of 36 hectares, it must be 3.6 kilometers, square kilometers, into a non-car zone. So only for cyclists and pedestrians. And there was a huge protest from commercial people and from cafes and restaurants and hotels. That was in 1992. Now, 12, 13 years later, it's a huge success. Commerce is booming, terraces are full of people. People come from other towns shopping in Ghent just because it is so agreeable.
Well, that seems to be really the key.
When the viability of the town has improved tremendously. And it's nice for the inhabitants, it's nice for the shoppers, and it's nice for money making for commercial people.
So everybody benefits, and as well the environment is benefiting.
Absolutely. And you can see that when you come in town, your cyclists are everywhere. Around at the station in Ghent, the railway station, there must be 6,500 cycles standing. So I don't know whether you have ever seen such a cycle parking lot, but it's nice. But it's normal too. We have 50,000 students. This is a university town. So where can they put their things when they come in by train? They put their cycle at the railway station. And in town too, there are a huge amount of small cycle parking lots. Yeah. And you can put your bicycle anywhere.
And I suppose the key to all this really is informing the citizens and exciting them so much that they feel that they see the model like Ghent, and they say, wow, if Dublin was to get like that, it would be even better than it is now. And trying to get them to take ownership of the idea and start to make that happen. So in terms of then how this Velo City conference has come to Dublin and the amount of outreach it has had, do you think that could be improved upon possibly for future Velo cities in countries in the future?
It certainly is going to help, because such a conference is an eye-opener also for the authorities. They're listening, and they know that, well, maybe they don't have the means now, but if the political will is there, they can turn Dublin into far more viable city. But there's also huge effort where public transport is concerned. I have learned that here. And I spoke to people who are in the housing sector and the planning, the housing planning, and they told me that they intend to build a huge amount of houses in the center of town in order to shorten commuter time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is also a very good initiative. And as to Ghent, what they did for car owners is they're not prevented from coming to Ghent by car, but we have a whole circle of parkings, underground parkings around the town. So you leave your car there, but in the heart of town you don't drive around looking for a space to put a parking lot for your car. What that was the situation beforehand. People were driving around for 3/4 of an hour to find a parking lot. Now all that and all that pollution is over, and all the noise of all these cars running around, and the town has become safer, more agreeable and friendly for cyclists too.
Excellent. And just to finish off then, you can't actually stay away from the bikes and the conference. How have you enjoyed your time in Dublin? Have you seen a massive change in Dublin in the last 6 years, and just in terms of the pace of the city, the attitude of Dubliners?
Yes, and I like it. Not a tremendous change, because it had already changed a lot 6 years ago. But, it's an agreeable city with many, many young people, very unlike Brussels, where you don't see so much youth. And, I liked it. Also, you see the refurbishment of buildings, huge efforts are made, fine parks. Only the banks of the Liffey could be friendly if all these trucks were not there.
Well, they're working on that. And what would you, just the other evening on the first Dublin Greenway cycle around the canal, we set up a group, the Dublin Eco City Group, about trying to get the city to take on the idea of trying to turn itself into an eco city. We've already consulted the mayors about it. We're meeting with the head city planner now next week. What would you be? Would you have any advice on how best we could move forward in that direction?
It's in their own best interest, because the inhabitants won't be happy if things get worse. And as mobility is growing, I cannot imagine Dublin with a double amount of cars. I know the statistics in Belgium about car ownership. It's growing tremendously here. When you are at the levels of Belgium or California, then you cannot get into town anymore. Congestion is that disagreeable that people begin grumbling against politicians. So they must be aware of that and take preventive measures.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and hopefully we'll get over to Brussels and over to the rest of Belgium and have a good cycle around.
It sounds absolutely fabulous. I've been there before, but I was never cycling, and it's just intriguing. I'm itching to get out on a completely different environment to cycling that I've never experienced before. I think I might go again.
But I think that
Bruges, Ghent are really towns where you can enjoy yourself, and in the rest of Belgium too, you know. But I would say for Brussels, wait a couple of years. Work is underway for huge infrastructure works are underway to turn Brussels into a cycling city.
The final thing then, I made a deal a few years ago, and I have to be in Bruges before next New Year's. So where would you, what would be a nice little cycle to get to Bruges or from Bruges? Maybe Ghent to Bruges?
Yes, it's perfectly possible, and it would be nice.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.